It's Sunday morning. Time for the Great Outdoors with Charlie Potter. Brought to you by the all-new Chevy Silverado and ChevyDriveChicago.com on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome to the Great Outdoors Show. Your host, Charlie Potter, here on WGN Radio. Thank you very much for being with us this morning, and I hope you got a big fire going because it's cold. And if you like to ice fish, some people might ask why, and you got hard ice today. I'm going to have today's show be with a longtime friend of mine who also is arguably one of the most knowledgeable people, certainly in the country, on how the Farm Bill comes together and the conservation measures of that come together. And he's recently retired, but his name is Lynn Churchma. He's been on the air before. He hails from South Dakota, the middle of corn country now. That was not always true, as Lynn will talk about a little bit. Spent his life in Washington, D.C., or much of it, working on congressional committees, worked with Senator Thune, went to work with the Theodore Roosevelt Conservation Partnership for many years, and is one of the architects, really, of how we have sound agricultural and conservation policy in America. And given that we're kicking off a new administration and there's so much talk about what can be done to help with the environment and conservation, Lynn, I thought you were the guy to turn to. Thanks for being with us again, and welcome to the Great Outdoors Show.
Well, thank you, Charlie. It's always a pleasure to see you, visit with you, and to be on this show, and want to welcome all the listeners. And I guess they're here because they're interested in the outdoors and wildlife, conservation, hunting. Those have been passions of mine, as has been production agriculture. And I've spent my career merging the two together and trying to convince people that they can complement each other and that they don't have to be butting heads with each other, and it all can work together. And I try to use that example on my own farm in South Dakota to show how we can have some of the best pheasant hunting, raise some of the best crops, and protect the land.
Well, Lynn, I got to start off, first of all, by thanking you for really all of your years of work on this. And I think everyone in agriculture, whether you're in high production or in conservation, you've had a hand in helping craft policies that have affected people's lives over the past many decades and farm bills. So we have a new administration, and we have so much talk about how we can reduce soil erosion, how we can reduce nitrogen loads in our rivers, and potentially most impactful, how can agriculture play a leading role in reducing carbon emissions? And because certainly the focus for the next few years is going to be on reducing carbon emissions, and all that, you put it together, is great for conservation. My question, I guess, to sort of start this is, why haven't we done this before? What has been the holdup? Since good conservation is good for the environment, and every landowner, farmer, producer that I know wants to do good things on their land, their problem is a lot of those good things haven't paid. So can you maybe give us a little bit of history as to how conservation policy has come together in your career working on it?
Sure, Tim. You know, when I look back at my own farm, which was homesteaded by my great-great-grandfather, you know, as many farms, number one, the first thing, you're out there on a farm, and I farmed full-time for 15 years, your number one priority is to make money and basically survive. Maybe I should say you survive first and then hope to make a little money as secondary. And technology, I mean, when I think back of the equipment that I used, and my dad was a conservationist, one thing in the sandy loam soils where my farm's located, we couldn't leave black dirt. It was a lighter soil, and if we didn't leave some stubble on top of the ground, we couldn't plow it like the soils in Illinois and Iowa. So we had to leave some cover on top of the ground and did what we could so we'd have decent land in the spring to be able to plant our crops. And the focus has gone from, I think, farmers, as time has evolved, as equipment has evolved, technology has evolved, and there's become more of an awareness of not only increasing production, but also might be a primary focus going to be sustainability, realizing that with the chemicals that are available, with the seed genetics that are available, I mean, we can pour nitrogen onto the ground. You can put all the chemicals on. You can put all the stacked, by the stacked seed. By that, I mean it's got the different traits that have been bred into it. And you can really produce high yields. But there's a price to pay for that, and farmers are realizing, you know, just like with so many things, you can't max out the ground year after year without giving something back. And now there's that realization, and also when you talk about we need a carbon sink, we need to be adding, using nitrogen-fixing crops that would help with carbon exchange. And so the trend is farmers are realizing they need to go to more uses of like cover crops and maybe setting aside some of the poorer ground on their operations and even programs. I mean, CRP, I started out working for USDA. The first year CRP was authorized, that was in 1985, and I've seen that evolve from basically a production control program to a program that's got so many facets and evolved into other different programs. And farmers realize that there's a value to taking their marginal land, setting it aside for 10 years, 15 years, and then farming it again, or maybe even just leaving it back in CRP. So I guess that's kind of a long answer to your question, but I would say it's more looking at sustainability, looking at the environment, and realizing that we've got to take care of the land. And there's so many tools out there, and we've tried to include so many in the Farm Bill, the Conservation Security Program, using cover crops, which has been huge in my area, planting winter wheat and then putting turnips, radishes that will go deep into the soil, open it up, and plus provide, they can also provide grazing for this ground in the fall. So there's many things, many programs that are available, and I expect in this new administration to see those expanded and enhanced even more.
So we're visiting with Lynn Churchman, who spent his life in agriculture and conservation. Lynn, let me ask you a question, and we'll go to a break in a couple minutes. You said, and which is true, like any business, you have to make money to survive. Agriculture is a business. If we are going to ask for societal benefits, are we prepared to pay the landowner to produce those benefits? In other words, if we want to sequester carbon, why? And the best way to do it is planting grass. Are we prepared to pay landowners for that societal benefit?
I think we're going to have to be, Charlie. I think we realize that with the productivity that we've got there, we don't need to produce to the max, like I talked about earlier, just apply all the fertilizer we can, all the chemicals that we can, and basically take out from the land as much as possible. But realize that, you know, we spend billions of dollars every year. I think the average just on the commodity title of the program is about $5 billion. And over the past 2 years, with some of the CFAP, the coronavirus program, disaster programs, some of the programs that the previous administration had had to offset the trade embargoes. You know, we spent probably another $18 billion. In fact, last year, 40% of the farm's income for 2020 is coming from the federal government. And that wasn't anything that actually helped conservation. So if we can spend that much money to enhance agriculture to help the survival, keep the survival rate up of farmers and ranchers on the land, I think we can spend money, or should be prepared to spend money to help them take better care of the land, protect the environment. And I think there's some real benefits. What I'd like to see in the next farm bill is tying some of these benefits to crop insurance. Crop insurance is one of the most important tools out there for farmers. And I think maybe we can connect crop insurance and assistance for conservation.
Let's do this. Let's take a break. And when we come back, Lynn, I'm going to ask you, I want to drill down a little bit, because there's no right answer, but about society needing benefits and the trade-offs, because we always look at the expense of these programs, but we don't look at the cost savings of these programs. So when we come back, I'd love to ask you a little bit about the whole idea of sequestering carbon through grass and also reducing nitrogen loads in our water systems, which is becoming a high priority. We are visiting with Lynn Churchman. You're listening to Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN, and first a message from our longtime sponsors, the Northwest Indiana and Chicagoland Chevrolet dealers.
In the field, hunters need to be alert, sense the environment around them, and know exactly where they are, communicate seamlessly with their dogs. And when it comes to pickup trucks, you want the same qualities. The all-new Chevy Silverado comes with an available 4G Wi-Fi hotspot for seamless communication. It's designed to handle the toughest loads with advanced trailering technology, tough on the road and off. And the all-new design gives you more cargo space than the competition. Chevy Silverado is the most dependable, longest-lasting, full-size pickup on the road. Plus, there's never been a better time to see your local Chevy dealer about the Big Fix lease. It's an amazing lease deal that can lower your monthly payments and give you more Chevy, all for less money. That's a treasure hunt. So head to your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealer or go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and see why Chevy is the number one best-selling brand in Chicagoland, now 8 years running.
It's Charlie Potter and the Great Outdoors on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host here on WGN. And if you're just joining me, I'm visiting with Lynn Churchma, who's one of the country's experts in agricultural and conservation policy and how the whole sausage is made of bringing conservation to the land. And if you're just getting up, it's cold. Put a log on the fire. So, Lynn, I have a central question that has been nagging me, I guess, for years, and that is how we account for paying farmers to provide good for society. And we always look at it as an expense. In other words, Conservation Reserve Program, CRP, that was an expense. But how do we calculate the benefits that not farming up to the river's edge and reducing soil erosion provide? How do we calculate the reduction in flooding? How do we calculate the reduction in nitrogen loads? And where I'm going with this is I have a sense that there's an opportunity here in the current administration, and I'm not saying it's right or wrong, I'm just saying it's an opportunity, for there to be a massive effort to reduce carbon emissions. And if I'm not mistaken, planting grass on the prairies, it could be the most effective way we can do that, both cost-wise and also for return. How are we going to look at this and say, well, it might cost billions of dollars to pay landowners and farmers to plant grass instead of having to plant crops that then have federal crop insurance? How are we going to look at the whole thing? Because the benefits back to society of doing this are just huge.
One thing I'd like to bring out in answer to that question, you know, back when I was working with TRCP and we had our agricultural, wildlife, and working group, which you helped sponsor and hosted there at the McGaw Wildlife Foundation, was how do we quantify conservation? I think, you know, it's easy to quantify corn, wheat, soybeans. We get so many bushels, we sell it for so many dollars a bushel, and we know what we make, we know what the expenses are. But with these conservation programs and with the carbon capture, how do we know that's going to do us any good? I mean, on my own farms, I plant cover crops, I've put ground in CRP, I've got filter strips, done all these things. I know they've helped, but I don't know how much, and I don't know if those are the best things that I can do. So I worked when I was with Senator Thune, he and Senator Klobuchar introduced a bill it was a data collection bill that basically would authorize or mandate USDA to take all the collection of data. And that's where the biggest, you know, whether it's, and especially coming up when it comes to carbon programs, USDA has all the data. And they will have new programs, I'm sure, in discussing with Robert Bonney last week. And so what this bill will do, and we're working on another one for the next farm bill, is actually allow USDA to release that data to, like, land-grant universities, private research, to put a value on conservation, to be able to put a value and say, okay, how much is this actually doing, so we know what the cost is, and also so we know what the benefit is. There are certain programs, I think what we realize or what we don't realize is that we can actually apply a lot of these practices, and instead of a cost, there can be a benefit to agriculture. And it's going to be important to get the lending institutions in place on board with doing this. And if we can have a farmer go to the bank and say, okay, I want to plant 10 acres of grass, this is what I'll get from it, and this is what I will benefit, this is what the cost is going to be, this is how much assistance I can get, that'll get the banker on board. And if we can go to Congress and say, okay, this is a carbon capture program that we want to apply or want to create, this is what the benefits are going to be, here's the dollars, this is what the return is for the taxpayers on the dollars, that's how we're going to bridge that gap and how we're going to be able to get these programs in place in the future. So basically, in my mind, it's a matter of being able to quantify what the benefits are and being able to put finite dollars and cents on them to be able to sell it to Congress, sell it to the public, and sell it to the farmers and ranches.
Well, Lynn, you have opened a door here that we could talk for days about, literally. Unfortunately, we're out of time. However, I want to thank you for beginning the discussion, and I hope you'll come back frequently as this goes forward. It's a big topic. It affects all of us in America and certainly across the heartland. Thanks so much. We're visiting with Lynn Churchma, and you've been listening to Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN.